Everybody doing okay this morning? Good. It is good to be back with you this morning. I had a great trip in Seattle, and I will be tripping in Seattle, not literally, but you know what I mean, several times over the next year. I said that to the wrong crowd. Every one of you are like, oh gosh, what's he doing up there? Promise, it is theological training, okay? I spent a great majority of the week thinking honestly about you and about the ministry that God has given us and just how blessed we are. And I'll be honest with you, I'm getting to go to probably one of the most influential churches in the world right now for many different reasons. And I won't go into any of that because it doesn't really matter. But just even still being there, I'm just still surprised at just how God has been so good to us. In so many different ways, and I'm not interested in us trying to be them or be another church of any kind, but I've been blessed this week thinking about how God has blessed us, and I know we'll never have all of our junk together or whatever, and we're not the perfect church, and if you're looking for it, hit the door. By the way, it doesn't exist, but it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing. God's been good, and He gets the glory for that, and He's just done an awesome thing. I want to share a couple things that are going on with you, just announcement stuff that is on the slides, but I want to just mention out loud just a couple of things. We're in need, I think, of a couple of computers. We're mostly Mac people here, but we need some Windows stuff, and we're looking for stuff that maybe you don't use anymore that you'd like to donate, something that can run XP. If you have any of that, go see computer guru in the booth, Jason, who runs the computer back there. He can tell you if that works or not. If you've got something, that'd be awesome. We're planning to try to move forward with trying to do some kids check-in stuff out there to make some automated stuff and whatnot to try to make things a little more secure and better and all those things. Just real quick, also, again, on slides, I'm not going to get in-depth on these things, but I just feel like they're worth mentioning. We're taking a church-wide whitewater rafting trip to the Ocoee. That's pretty cool, and I'm pretty jacked up about that. I can't even remember the dates, but again, after the service, check the slides. They did want me to tell you that they need money. Jason Pennington, who's kind of overseeing this deal, needs money by the 8th. So make sure that you're getting money by the 8th. And if we have at least 35 people, I think it's only $33 a person. And so you'll be caravanning down with just other folks from church and then camping out one night and then whitewater rafting. It's good stuff. Jason, why don't you raise your hand so everybody can just see you. He's our resident, I'm sure you'll be okay with this, resident idiot. I say that with all good intentions. And I'll say this about Jason too. God really led me to ask Jason to work with our students, to work with our youth. That's kind of a big deal when you've done it for 9 or 10 years or something. I see something in him that reminds me of great student ministry. And they've been working with our, he and Jesse have been working with our students as well. So good stuff going on there. So if you see Jason around, make sure to give him a hard time. And then lastly, I wanted to just mention, well, of course, fuel's going on, and you guys will be, I'm sure, promoting that in some way, shape, or form. But also, just wanted to let you know that next weekend is a big weekend for us. Every year, we do this thing called Plunge, and every year, some of you miss it. And I'm just going to let you know that it's your bad, okay? It is probably one of the most awesome things that we do as a church, and we have purposefully, this year, changed it up to try to make it to where maybe it's even a little easier for us, you know, for people to not have to drive so far to go to the dam. Or, you know, last year we actually did it in the fountain over here in the village. But we're keeping it in Pleasant View, but we're doing it down on a farm. There'll be maps and stuff out next weekend for you to know how to get there. But it will be Sunday afternoon. There's a creek that runs through the farm that has a huge swimming hole in it, complete with rope swing and the whole bit. We will be swimming, we will be eating, and we will be baptizing. And so that's all going on next Sunday afternoon. I think starts at 3:00. If you don't know what baptism means, if you're very confused about that, there are so many people that teach so many different things. Next Sunday morning, we're going to teach the Bible about it. Okay, and so you can come next Sunday morning. We're going to take a week off of James, going to talk about what baptism is in Scripture. And then that afternoon, we're going to go and do it. So God may, you know, speak to your heart next Sunday morning and say, I should do that. And by the way, if you haven't done it, it's merely just proclaiming to the world that I'm a follower of Christ. And it's just an awesome, awesome thing to get to do. Jesus asks us to do it. We'll talk about it again. I'm going to start preaching about it. See, I'm going to talk about it next Sunday morning. I'm excited about it because it's exciting stuff. I think we've got a little video. We'll watch that real quick. Let's do that.
Want a free fall out into nothing. Oh, I'm gonna leave this world for a while. Now I'm free, free falling, falling. Now I'm free, free falling.
So jacked up. Let's just go do that right now. Anybody want to just go do that right now? Let's just go. Man, that really does. That gets me going. The last baptisms that you saw that were in the swimming hole, that's where we're going to be next week at the Drake Farm. And you can go ahead and be thanking them ahead of time. They're doing a great deal of work to just even get the property ready and to help us make that happen. It's just a cool thing. So they'll be helped. By the way, you'll want to get there. I think we'll probably talk about this more next week. But you'll probably want to get there on time if you can possibly next week because we're going to truck people down. Down to where it's at, you'll want to park. If you've got, you know, something that is sets low to the ground as far as a car goes, you'll probably want to park it up on the farm and then be taken down. He's got wagons. He's going to be, you know, taking us down, pulling the tractor, you know, or pulling the wagons with the tractor and the whole bit. So just be sure that you don't miss out on any of that. By the way, the band is playing in kids' church this morning right now. Hear that? That's pretty cool, right? I like that. That's good stuff. I'll tell you what, you know, when I watch these videos, I'm amazed sometimes at how fast I baptize some of these people. You know, I go back, and I promise I'll try not to do this next week, but I go back and watch these videos, and I go, did I really just, like, slam her into the water like that? Because, I mean, it just, it's so funny. This morning, we're hitting James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, two verses, and two very powerful verses that bring home some stuff for us to meditate and ask God to just show us in our heart what he's speaking to us about. I want to just pray for us this morning that God will speak to us. Let's do that. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for its truth. God, thank you for being consistent. Thank you for being perfect. Thank you, God, for letting us know that we can have mercy and grace through the cross, through your son, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't have that, God, I pray, Lord, that they could have that when they leave. God, thank you for allowing people to come to Christ almost weekly here recently. God, just how awesome that is. God, that is to your glory. You've done that. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to use this church to lead people to you. In your name I pray. Amen. This morning, James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, we have a question to pose, and the question is, can being critical become a sin? Can being critical become a sin? Now, I know none of you here would ever be critical, right? We don't have any critical people, and some of you are poking husbands and wives right now. I see you. You should stop. I'm speaking to you, okay? being critical is something that we all do, and at times it can be a good thing. At times it is good for us to, maybe the better word is to examine, things, to see if we're doing things the right way. And we see Scripture constantly saying, you know, for us to examine our hearts. But being critical is one of those things that we all fall into because we all think we've got something figured out. We know exactly what's going down and we're going to do, you know, we're going to go with that. And so, you know, through the process of all of it, we become critical people. Now, Scripture has something to say about this morning. And right off the bat, I want to just kind of read into verse 11 of chapter 4 of the book of James. And it says this in verse 11. It says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." We'll just kind of hang right there with it. If you go back to the very beginning of this verse, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." Right here, we've got some kind of cool thing going on because James is making a pretty big shift. You have what Ben preached about last weekend was the first 10 verses of this chapter. And right smack dab in the middle of that passage of Scripture, James refers to his readers as "you adulterous people." Hello. Hello, adulterous people. He goes from calling them "you adulterous people" to referring to them as brothers. He's making this shift and he's doing so for good reason because he wants to remind his readers that, you know, yes, we are sinners. Yes, we fall into sin, but he does love us. More importantly, God loves us. And through that, we have mercy, we have grace if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But this morning, he just starts here. This is just a mere beginning. This beginning with the brothers. And it goes on and it says, "The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law." The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. This is some pretty deep stuff. If you look into this and you really see what James is talking about, he's helping us to understand something about something that we're all guilty of doing all the time. We are all guilty of criticizing, are we not? We criticize one another, and many times we think we're doing a good thing. Sometimes we're doing it just straight up out of sin. Sometimes we're just criticizing one another. I'll tell you something. This week, one of the guys that I got to hang out with used to play pro football. And of course, a big thing going on right now in the sports news, if you will, is the whole deal with Michael Vick. And everybody was talking about Michael Vick. In fact, all these pastors that I was with, all these ministers, were talking about Michael Vick. And, you know, in the process of listening to all this, it was interesting, you know, how, you know, we all do this. We're so quick to throw people in the public under the bus, right? You know, when they're not somebody that's close to us, we're so quick to do that. And right in the very beginning of the week, I was hearing some people, you know, having this Michael Vick conversation about whether or not he should be allowed back to play the game and all this kind of stuff. And then my new friend Leonce, who used to play for the Falcons and he played for the Saints and played for Tampa Bay for a little bit, Leonce spoke up. And he said, "Oh man, y'all don't hate on that brother." And I was just listening to him and I watched his demeanor and I had just been sitting back. I honestly don't usually get into a whole lot of sport conversations unless it includes like Lou Gehrig or something. So there's not a lot of sports conversations being had with me. But you know, one of the things that I was noticing was his demeanor changing and recognizing that he was going to start to stand up here for just a moment for Michael Vick. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I think that people," I "know what he did was wrong." He said, "But I think people are so quick to judge that sometimes we forget that even people like that need forgiveness." He didn't say it in that moment, but later on, I found out that he played football with him. And they weren't like best friends or anything, but I think what he was seeing was, you know, here's a guy like me that was good at a sport that did something wrong. And the world will cast judgment on that person for one mistake. You know, and I just think to myself, you know, how, you know, we all say, well, Chris, yeah, but that's so, it's such a bad thing. You know, it's dogfighting. I'll agree, it was a bad thing. What if ESPN ran all of our bad things on TV for us this week? Anybody want to take ESPN up on that? There'd be a lot of judgment getting cast on us. God is being very specific in helping us to understand that we do something when we are speaking evil against one another. And that something follows right here. It says, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. What does that mean? It means that we, by following through with speaking evil against another brother, that we are speaking against Scripture. We are showing the world, every time we talk bad about somebody, we are showing the world, I don't believe in my Scripture. I don't believe in the Bible which God has given me. Say, so Chris, how is that? It is that way because God asks us not to do it. And so when we do that, it is a public profession that I'm speaking against the Word of God. And that's heavy stuff. I mean, we don't think about this a whole lot. It goes on, it says, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. He's using wording from back earlier in the book of James. Be doers of the word. He's getting even more specific. He's saying, because if you didn't know, in the word, it clearly helps us to see that we are not to do this. We're not to speak evil against a brother. You're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Several things here. When we do that, we are showing that we don't agree with Scripture. How many of you would like to make that statement today? You know, for us to understand the enormity of this, for us to see that when we are doing this, that it shows others that we don't agree with Scripture. Because I know for most of us, what happens is, you know, we get in these situations. Well, what do you think about that? Well, I don't know. Michael Jackson. What do you think about Michael Jackson? What do you think he did? I don't know. Well, they didn't find him guilty. Oh, well, he paid somebody off. Well, I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. It's all this talk. And then you got a whole bunch of people, they don't know in there for sure. Oh, well, he did this. I know he did that. I've seen him. I was watching Thriller. You know? I got it all figured out from watching Thriller. I knew back in the day what was going to happen. And sure enough, Eric came up in the news. You know? You know, and we're so quick to judge. And then at Michael Jackson's funeral, I watched his son, who was 9 years old, stand on a stage, and it was the last thing that happened at his funeral. And I was blown away, because here was a son that was going to take his moment in the spotlight. And what did he do? He said, I want everyone to know that my dad was the best dad ever. You know what he was doing? He wanted the world to know what he knew of his father. And how many times, you know, can we tell a Michael Jackson joke, but somewhere there's a son who's not standing on a stage? We don't think about it like that, do we? We don't think about it. We're just doing our thing. We're just cutting up, we're just making jokes, just talking about people. That's what we do. We talk about people. We get together and we talk about each other. Oh, yeah, no, you know, I don't know about him. I agree with what he's doing right now. Let me help you to understand something. Some of you are thinking right now, well, you know, there's moments in time, Chris, when I need to go to another brother and I need to tell them, I need to say to them, you know, what you're doing is wrong and I'm concerned for you. In a non-judgmental manner. I just need to approach, because we see accountability in Scripture, and where does that fit in? Well, I just explained it to you. You are supposed to go to that brother and talk to them in a loving way. Scripture even gives more, you know, to it than that, and I won't go there today. But, you know, not go to a brother's friend and go, hey, did you hear what he's doing? Did you hear about that? Can't believe he's doing that. That's crazy. What's he doing? Anything else is judging. And when we do it and when we speak evil against a brother, we're speaking evil against the law. We're speaking evil against Scripture. We're discrediting it by doing so, because on one hand we say we believe Scripture, and on the other hand we go out and we break it. By the way, it's perfect. It's done. It's finished. It is the Word of God. So for us to break one part of it, to speak against one part of it, is for us to do it for the whole thing. And there's plenty of Scripture about that, if you didn't know. We can't abide by something that we don't live out. Saying these things and doing these things is looking in the face of God and saying, you know what? God can't handle it. I know better. I can handle the judging. I'll judge for God. I'll do it for him. I'll let me be the judge for a while. God, you can't handle this. You don't know what you're doing. We don't think about it like that, do we? It puts us in a place where we're saying that we have a superior position. Puts us above the law. Not talking about the Steven Seagal movie, by the way, just, you know, saying. But it puts us above the law. It's saying that we know better. I mean, you just think about this. Think about it for just a moment. What would our government, what would our system, our governmental system, our law, what would that be like if we just said, you know what, let's just scrap all the laws and let's let the judges who are in office, let's you know, since they're judging, let's just let them do whatever they think's right. Anybody want to be a judge in that system? You ought to raise your hand. That's what we do. We're saying we know better. We say we've got it figured out. But the truth is only God knows a person's heart. Only God knows what happens in secret. And we are so great at judging people, talking about them, and speaking evil against them. We are completely incompetent to be judging anyone else. Per the reason why God is the only one that is given that ability. The law says that we should exercise mercy with one another. Let me ask you a question. How merciful are you with people in your life? How merciful are we? You say, well, Chris, you know, sometimes people just do me wrong and I got to get it out of my system. You need to talk to God. You need to quit relying on people and you need to talk to God. You need to spend time with Him. You need to understand that this is a sin and it's breaking His heart and it's tearing you down in the process. You need to repent of it and you need to move forward with a relationship with God. We're supposed to show mercy to people. Say, well, Chris, it's so hard. Let me ask you a question. How hard do you think it is for God to show mercy on us? I mean, let's face it. We are not without sin. We might as well be getting told here that ye who have no sin, throw the first stone. Because that's what's going on. You see, we rely on God's mercy to save us, but we don't want to show that same mercy to people in our lives and just so simply we'll enter in a conversation and start talking about someone. One of the translations of the Greek word here that's being used to say speak evil against another. This is just one of the translations. It doesn't mean that it is the translation for this, although it is used in at least one spot of this verse and many other translations of the Bible, is the word slander. How do you like that? Slander. The church I was at up this past week, we were sitting around a table. I was sitting there with some of the church staff, and we were talking, and one of the guys at the table that was not from there said, "Hey, did you know that there's a website that looks like the website for your church, but it's not really the website for your church?" And one of the guy I was sitting next to is one of the head pastors of the church. He's like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "This other guy started telling us, well, there's a website. And it looks like your church website, but on this website it has all of this information that I'm pretty sure every bit of it is untrue about your church. And it's basically like a phony website that if you just, mistype in the thing just a certain way, you'll get this website instead. And on this website, you'll get all these lies about the church." And he was like, "Whoa, I did not know about that." And I looked at him, I said, "Brother, you need to do something about that." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "We do." And I looked at him, I said, "That's slander. That's slander." You see, slander is saying something that is not true about somebody. Defamation of character, as we hear it in the legal system today. Something that we don't ever want happening to us. And that is a translation of this word here, but honestly, it's not the only translation. And the truth is, not only is it not the only translation, because what God is talking about here, what this passage is talking about here, is not necessarily just talking about things that are not true about one another, but saying things that are true about one another. Because we as Christians go, "Well, it's true. It's true." Well, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to open our mouths and talk about it. I was put in that position a couple years ago. There have been a couple times since we started the church. It's been a couple years since this happened. I'm probably due another one. But I had a letter that got floated around about me. It got sent places. It got sent to the schools that we were meeting in at the time. It got sent to other churches at the time. And the great thing was, I was good friends with so many of these people that received the letter that they just called me and said, "Hey, I got this crazy letter." I'm like, "What does it say?" They're like, "Oh, it says, Chris Royalty, he's pro, he's all for abortion, and he is all for porn, and all of this stuff." It was just like, and it was obvious, like, and I've got a copy of the letter at home. I almost brought it this morning, but, because I have kept it, because at the moment, it's not funny. Looking back on it now, it can be funny, because it's like, man, this is so far out. They obviously have never been to our church. They were blasting our church because on the website it said that we'd shut the doors after the service started. They don't get it. They're not here. They don't see it. They've never been here. For so many of us, we don't think about the damage that we do, and we don't think about how we're going against the Word of God when we do it, when we fall into these types of sin. Leviticus 19 is James is going to Leviticus 19 here, by the way. He is referring to the law. And he is probably specifically talking about this passage. And I just want to read it to you. In Leviticus 19, it says this. It says in verse 16, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall," check this out, "love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And Leviticus in the law here is covering the bases from slander to not falling into sin because of another brother and speaking evil about him. But what? To love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 12 of the book of James goes on. And it says in verse 12, it says, "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Only one. Only one. He gave the law. It qualifies him to judge according to the law, to save and destroy. Some pretty serious words. And I want to stop on that for just 1 second, and I just want to ask you the question. You know, have you ever received the mercy and the grace that comes from the cross? Because save and destroy are real things, and based upon the law is where it all comes from. Our justification is in Him. We need to know what side of that coin we're on. Being good Christians, being good church people, you know, having a title as a Christian or living your entire life inside a church doesn't mean that you know Christ as your Savior. If you were baptized as a baby, it doesn't mean that you know Christ as your Savior. There's a lot of misconceptions. And at the end of the day, there should be some point in your life where God spoke to your heart and said, run my way, make me the Lord of your life, and you repented of your sin and you said, God, I want you to be my Lord. Save me. Romans says it's a heart issue. And it's not about whether or not you've gotten wet before or anything else, but it is about your heart. And have you ever turned your heart to God and confessed His name? Because save and destroy is a real thing. James ends this, but who are you to judge your neighbor? And he's being very blunt here. He's being very blunt. He is getting in the face of the people reading this and saying, who do you think you are to judge your neighbor? And this morning, that's something that we all struggle with. Say, Chris, I don't do it. Don't sell yourself on that lie. We all do it. We all do it. Satan uses it to tear apart homes. Satan uses it to tear apart families, churches. I can't tell you how many churches I have seen split over people talking about each other. Or I can't tell you about how many people have quit coming to a church, including this one, because people have talked about each other. It is Satan getting a foothold, and we have got to kick him in the face and say no. We have the ability to do so. We have self-control when we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. We have the ability to say no to sin. We don't have to be able to go, oh, well, it's just my sin and I'm just going to have it forever. No, say no. Live in a relationship with God daily, not Sunday to Sunday. Spend time with God. Let Him convict your heart. And this morning, we need to repent for this. We need to ask for God's forgiveness because we've done it. And there's probably people we should go to. And as Scripture tells us that we should go and then we should ask for forgiveness from them. And you might have some people within the church that you need to do that with, that you've talked bad about in the church. Maybe they don't even come to our church anymore. You say, well, Chris, it was justified. No, it was not. It was sin. You ought to call them when you get out of here today and say, you know what? I said bad things about you, and I'm sorry. I was sinning and I didn't realize it. It's not an excuse, but I want to say I'm sorry today and I want to make that right. You know what happens when we follow through with doing things like that? God is glorified. He is made great because no human in their right mind, in our own human nature, would want to do that because that's crazy. Let's follow God. Let's follow God and let's follow His Scripture. Let's follow the law. Let's be doers of His Word. And this morning, if you're here and you don't have the peace of knowing Christ as your Savior, I just want you to know I'm going to go hang out in the hallway here in just a minute when the band is up here playing. And I'll be out there and just waiting to talk with anybody that wants to know Christ as their Savior. We are not to judge. We're not to cast stones. We are to love our neighbors. We are to be encouragers like Barnabas. We are to love people. The greatest commandment. Guy walks up to Jesus and says, Jesus, tell me the one thing. The one thing I need to know. What is the one most important thing that you could tell me? We see this in Mark 12. And Jesus looks at the guy and says, let me tell you the one thing. And he answers it with this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Guy asks for one. He gets two. The great thing is Jesus still words it as it's one. You see, if we love God, we will love people. God has called us to love him. And in loving him, we will have the ability to love people. You say, Chris, I have trouble loving some people in my life right now. You're not spending enough time with the Lord. If you'll love him, he will allow you to love them. Let's pray together. God, I love you so much. I pray, Lord, that that comes through. And God, I just pray, Lord, that our love for you comes through in everything that we do, God, and how we sing to you, how we take your scripture. God, I pray this morning that we would be people who follow you in everything that we do. God, that we would be doers of your word. God, I pray that we would take this message this morning, God, and that it would just sink in our hearts and that it would change how we speak of one another. God, I pray, Lord, that we would watch ourselves. God, that people would see something different in us because we don't speak evil against another. God, you can use that alone. And God, when people see that we're not the type of person that does that, God, they're going to want to be our friends. God, and our hope and our goal in that is that they will become one of your friends through all of it. God, I pray, Lord, that you would get the glory for every bit of it. God, I pray for our church. I pray that our church would be a place that people could come and they wouldn't be judged. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't judge people for what they look like, for what they smell like, for where they came from, for where they live, for what their income is. But God, that we would just be a church with open arms, just waiting to embrace people. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't fake it on Sunday and not do it on Monday. God, I pray, Lord, that it would be our heart because we love you, God, and because we love your people. Lord, you are great. You are good. God, I pray, Lord, that we could sing to you in such a way that you are great and good. Thank you, Father, for your word.